worship and our Bible study through our Advent and Christmas 2024. We are following material produced by the Methodist Church, inviting us to hush the night. This is a phrase taken from the Christmas carol, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. And each week, a phrase from the carol will help us explore scripture readings. This week's phrase is the same as the overall theme, hush the noise. It comes from verse 3 of the carol. Here is the verse in its entirety. Yet with the words of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angels' strain them have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Christmas in our contemporary culture can be very loud. There are many voices telling us how to celebrate, what to wear, what to eat and drink, what to watch, and what to buy. So we are invited to hush the noise and to listen again to the love song which the angels bring, the message of the birth of the Saviour. And today is Advent Sunday, when many Christians wish each other a Happy New Year. So Happy New Year, everyone! The calendar starts in January, the school year in September, the financial year in April. And the Christian year begins today. And our lectionary has moved from Mark's Gospel onto Luke's. And Advent has two main centres of interest, the coming of Jesus as a baby and the coming of Jesus at the end of time. When an important person comes to us, we need to spend time in preparation. I have to spend the next few weeks getting the mantle ready as we have my parents and my brother and sister-in-law coming for Christmas. No one could be more important than Jesus, so we need to prepare for his coming, because he is so important and has such a key role to play in God's plans. And because he is so wonderful, loving, good, selfless and great, we prepare by understanding our own sinfulness compared to his wonderful nature. That's why the liturgical colour for Advent is purple, for penitence. We prepare by reflecting on our weak humanity, confessing our sins and seeking forgiveness and renewal. Sin is not a popular word these days, but most know what it means. It is the opposite of hitting the mark, the root meaning of the Hebrew word for righteousness. We so often miss the mark, the bullseye, in our everyday living, in our speaking, in our doing, in our thinking, and in what we are doing with our lives. The Advent lectionary readings prompt us to reflect on our lives, so that when we hear again Luke's familiar story, we may realise afresh the significance of the birth of Jesus. In the stable, the kingdom of God draws near, marking a significant moment in the big story of God's relationship with his creation. Its familiarity may mean we often overlook God's love active in the world. But today we are challenged to notice the signs. The signs point to a picture of impending doom. Jesus may have perceived the threat that resulted in the sack of Jerusalem by the Romans. But Luke is writing after this event and during a period of persecution of the young church. Maybe for Luke, these are signs of the coming of the end and the return of the Son of Man. However, nearly 2,000 years have passed, and although there are, even today, those who use these words to predict the end, we may be wiser to recognise that every generation could point to such signs of impending doom and ask whether God is active and the kingdom is near. Street signs are everywhere, and we know how to read them, even in a foreign country. We still look for a red sky at night, for the first snowdrops in spring, and we expect a hard winter if there are lots of berries. So how are we to handle the turbulence of life as a sign of the kingdom? Perhaps it encourages us to recognise the nature of unredeemed humanity, always susceptible to what is going on around us, always getting things wrong. Jesus seems to indicate more positive signs of redemption, of the nearness of the kingdom. For his contemporaries, it was surely the fulfillment of God's promise, prophesied in passages like the one from Jeremiah, and now seen in his own life and ministry. For Luke's readers, there was the knowledge of what God had done in Christ and the living witness of the infant church. But what of us today? Could it be that we are to hold on to this and be the hopeful sign of the kingdom for others? Jesus lived in dangerous times, and when the Gospels were written later that century, things were even more hazardous. Jerusalem had been razed to the ground, the temple and the Holy of Holies with it. The early church was severely persecuted by the end of the century, and the world must have seemed to be falling apart. In this situation, the followers of Jesus had to make their witnesses. Today's world also seems a dangerous and hazardous place, with barriers between races, between East and West, between religions, between North and South, between rich and poor. One could be forgiven for having a gloomy outlook. We can only speculate on whether the world is more dangerous now than long ago. Certainly, it is different. How do Christians respond to a world like this? One response might be to hide in a corner, shut ourselves off from the world, and concentrate on our own piety and personal salvation. But Jesus tells us in Luke to be alert, on guard, and praying at all times, so that we shall be able to cope with whatever comes, in a spirit of Christian discipleship. The people to whom Luke wrote thought that the end of the world was coming at any time, sooner rather than later. Christ would come, judge people, and wind up the world. Experience assured that one can never tell when this will happen. Rather, we must be alert and ready for every eventuality. Driving a car is an activity that requires all our attention. There are so many hazards waiting to catch us out. Other cars, lorries, cyclists, pedestrians, difficult corners, slippery roads, bright lights, animals, unexpected happenings. It needs our full, undivided attention. There are many factors that can limit our attention. Alcohol, medicine, tiredness, the radio, mobile phones, passengers, and even television. All these can lead to accidents and death. We must be alert and ready at all times. It is that concentration of being alert to the life of the kingdom of God and the world that ensures we are attentive, ready, and reacting appropriately at all times and in all places. The hungry die, the sick need care, the lonely cry, the lost struggle, the needy plead, the downtrodden look to us. Victims shout, people flounder. What is our response? How do we act? Are we ready? The prophet Jeremiah, active from about 625 BC, predicted that the nation would fall to the dominant Babylonian Empire. Despite being under house arrest in a besieged city, he was hopeful about the future of his people beyond the impending ruin. In the towns that are desolate, there shall once more be heard the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness. The prophet resists his hope for the future, not on Judah's faithfulness, but on the promise of God. The language reminds us of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 5, which promises a shoot from the stock of Jesse. In birth prophecies, the character of God will shape the promised ruler, because the Lord is our righteousness. The coming king will be a righteous branch. In the same way, the character of the coming king will mold the life of the nation. So the ideal associated with David will once more become reality. Jeremiah's oracle may originate from a world very different from our own, but its longing for freedom, safety and justice finds powerful resonance across time down to the present. Luke chapter 21 is based on a collection of Jesus' apocalyptic sayings in Mark 13, though it has a very different flavour. Whereas Matthew and Mark give the impression that the glorious coming of the Son of Man will occur soon after the traumatic fall of Jerusalem, Luke made true for the church's mission by separating the two. Common to all three accounts is a vision of the unraveling of creation, as if the sequence of Genesis 1 is put into reverse. Natural disasters cause tragic chaos, but life has a way of returning to normal. What Jesus envisages here is much more catastrophic. The end of the world as people know it, though not the end of everything. The NRSV translation of the reading puts the Son of Man coming in a cloud in quotation marks, a connection with Daniel chapter 7 verses 9 to 14, and its hope-filled vision that God would vindicate those who kept faith with him during the persecution of Antiochus IV. The Son of Man's direction of travel could be to God, as in Daniel, and possibly Mark 13, or from God, as in Matthew 24. Either way, the reference to Daniel endorses Jesus' warnings in the little apocalypse and his ministry as a whole. His own vindication in his resurrection from the dead and his mysterious yet glorious coming in a cloud shows that he is no mere prophet of doom. In a collapsed world, Jesus remains a trustworthy guide. Verse 34 reminds us that alcohol-fueled hedonism has long been a coping strategy when people feel anxious and powerless. Jesus sees an alternative in the parable of the fig tree and the image of the trap. A confident faith combined with prayerful alertness will reassure Jesus' followers that the kingdom of God is near. Does he mean that the impending distress will be short-lived? Or do his words on the same theme in Luke chapter 17 suggest that they will know the closeness of the kingdom of God strengthening solidarity in the midst of that time of trial? This is often meditated through persevering prayer and love of other Christians. Jesus does not suggest that faithfulness provides an escape route from a world facing collapse. His followers have always been caught up in such things. Prayerful alertness changes our relationship with events by robbing them of their capacity to surprise us and strip us of hope. The readings share a common concern to keep hope alive in testing times. When they try to imagine God's future, biblical writers find inspiration in past glories. So for Jeremiah, the future is David's shaped, because Israel's greatest king was the best-known example of a saviour and deliverer. In Luke, the future is Jesus' shaped, because God's ancient promise to bless the whole of creation was at last being fulfilled in Jesus, and his continuing impact. In an unstable world, it is easy to lose faith in what we rely on to provide stability. The Advent message is that God's future is Jesus shaped. Our challenge is to work out what that means in an increasingly complex world. There's a couple of storms brewing. Hot on the heels of Storm Bear last weekend, we have Storm Connell on the way, causing chaos across the UK. Trains are being cancelled, the Met Office is issuing yellow warnings, and some people are wearily moving their furniture as they anticipate their houses once again being filled with water. Of course, the other storm brewing is not across the UK, but very specifically located in Manchester. The Etihad Stadium, to be precise, where for the first time since 2006, Manchester City have lost 5 games in a row. Even the Champions League draw was a shock to the system, or rather a storm in the stadium. Whilst other teams in the league will be enjoying this blipping form, for City supporters, the change is troubling. For the people with flooded homes, the feeling of hopelessness, of being at the mercy of the changing weather, must be very difficult. Storms on earth of all types are hard. They change things. But the storm that starts in heaven has exactly the opposite effect. When Jesus was born in the stable, the storm started. His life on earth changed things. For some, it was a shock to the system. For others, his words and behaviour were troubling. But for the people who followed him and listened to him, this storm brought life. God changed the world when he sent his son, and unlike the change on earth his storm brings, this change is the source of hope for everyone. So as we've already said, and know, it's the first Sunday, the first week of Advent. It's a time of waiting, watching, and hoping. Hope that expressed by Jeremiah, during a time of persecution, hope that justice is coming. Hope like that in the story told by Luke, when Jesus uses a new shoot of a fig tree in spring, describe the hope and joy of new beginnings. In the Northern Hemisphere, we are approaching the darkest time of the year, and at the same time, today we lit the first of our Advent candles. A reminder that a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, and never will, overcome it. And each Sunday of Advent, we will lighten the candle, and the light that holds so much promise will become stronger each week, culminating in the hope that is Christ's birth. In dark days, we wait and watch and hope, and our hope will not be in vain.